All right, Jason, real or fake, the moon landing?
Oh, wow. We're not messing around to start. Crap. This one sucks. I lean fake.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah,
All right.
enough evidence has been, like, why have we not done it again? How come I haven't seen a moon landing since, Bill? Why have, it's 2022. Have there been a moon landing since? If we have photography of or video of people floating around? No. So I'm gonna go fake.
I'm pretty sure we have, but
Where's the bouncing people jumping around in the moon?
I don't think like in like the recent memory, but either way, nice conspiracy there to start you off.
Yeah.
I like
He might have
that.
been the reason why. We like because obviously when we worked closely together for like a year and change, it was like a lot of that. Anywho.
All right, the Montreal screw job.
Real.
You know what I should have said? Work or shoot. Yeah.
That's all the same.
All right, so that's a shoot. That was
Yeah,
real.
it's real. Real deal.
All right, and then for all people who live on this planet currently, Will Smith versus Chris Rock at the Oscars? Is that what they call that thing?
Sad, but I'm gonna go real. I'm leaning real.
Shoot. All right.
What do you think?
I am 99, I'm like 95% real, but I want to believe it's fake.
What do you think of the Montreal Screwjob?
Oh, for each one.
No,
I
no, no.
think that might also be a little bit of a work.
In what sense? I'm just curious because we don't have to go too deep into it. But like, do you think Brett knew he wasn't gonna win? Which part do you think? Because I'm
Oh,
open to it.
the whole like it was orchestrated as a big media thing. Like the whole thing was a work on all the people involved. Like Brett and Vince knew.
Okay. All right. I mean,
I'm not
I
even 100% sure, but I like to believe in these things.
and then what about the moon landing?
You know what? I'm gonna go real out of all the other ones, and it's probably the fakest one of them all.
Here's the only reason I go there is because literally when you think about it, we have not seen, or at least not regularly, there is no people bouncing around on the moon, sticking American flags somehow into some form of whatever the moon substance is, some star. It's just like the more I thought about it, I was like, huh, why haven't we done that again? And it was a time when like there was like a lot of pro-America, like, wait, look at us, we're the greatest country, and we do all these great things. Like, no one else has been up here, and then there's like rumors of like Russia being on the moon. I don't know. That's just
I don't know, but like, what's there? What are you gonna do?
I just want to see it.
Seems pretty barren.
If they were able to do it, what was that, in the 60s? I don't know why we aren't able to do it over the last 60 years, Bill. 60 years of existence. We look at behind you. All that didn't exist. Not one of the things in that room, aside from your desk, there wasn't computers. There wasn't television screens moving around, at least. There was like the
God of
computer.
War existed.
What's that?
God of War.
Existed in 1960? Like Kratos existed, or like the actual God of War? You
Yeah, I
talking
mean,
video games right now?
there
The way you work, all the places, everything that we
Yeah,
what do
I
I
got
do
it.
right
I got
now? It wasn't real.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Into the pop culture, I thought that was going to go better. Welcome into the pop culture pile driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can follow me across all social media platforms if you so desire. It will make your life a lot better. At Jason D. Rossi. You can also follow us as a little tandem at the pop culture PD on the Twitter, and it will instantly make you lock in your spot on the Mount Rushmore of somebody's life. And with me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed only on Twitter at Billy Yee 2411 because he's the bad boy of Twitter, getting kicked off, copywritten, and killed. He can be followed on all other social media platforms at Billy D 2411, including the return of his OnlyFans. And for this special week only, it is WrestleMania 38, one of Billy's favorite weeks of the year. Well, outside of the Royal Rumble, but he is doing a special 38 inches. That means he will celebrate 38 different photos of a different inch of you know what, the below the belt, baby. And you can get that by putting in the special promo code Billy's38. And you can say hi to him right now. He is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. It's Billy D. What's going on, man?
How about a pile driver?
It's a hell of a week, Bill. It's a hell of a week. We got a doozy here for you. The open of the show, actually, I've had another idea for the show because me and Billy, our conversations usually are here. So I want to bring this up because there's about four show ideas I've had. One was wrestling conspiracy theories with Keith. And I think that what you just kind of, you opened it. Because sometimes I'm like, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. But then when people talk to me about it, I start to notice my, I don't know what you want to call that side, my open-minded or crazy side starts to come out. So I still do believe lizard people live in the middle of the earth too. That's just, that's part of my weirdness. But anyways, Bill, people can subscribe to us over on the iTunes. They can leave a 5-star review. It'll instantly make us very happy campers and do us a big favor. Appreciate you listening. You can check us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Like and subscribe over on the YouTube, and you can check us out as a part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse on Facebook, where you can watch us, you can listen to us, and you can check out Change My Mind. You can check out Mac and Goo. Sometimes we say Dork, but there's no content for Dork on the old Dork Shared Gooniverse. I've looked on that Facebook page. There isn't. But you can check out.
Post his streaming clips?
I think Goo posts stuff for them, but it's mostly like their best wrestler stuff. But anyways, you can obviously check them out. You probably know who the hell they are if you're finding us. You can check out the merch for this show, and that's a chunky, which you can see in the background of Billy's visuals right now. You can check out TeePublic, search for user Pop Culture Piledriver, or that's a chunky. Is there an exclamation point?
Yeah, there is. I believe so.
And music by our guys. Oh, yeah. Bill, what's the latest? Or tell people what to listen to.
Obviously, go to Spotify, listen to them. They're playing a ton of live shows. And actually, his band is playing a ton of live shows. And Oh Yeah, we'll be touring soon. And I will give you all the information on that as soon as I have it. And I'm going to be requesting close friends go to that show, too.
You said close friends, so I probably won't get a call. No, so what I will say is that's a really good point. If you can, I don't like to preach necessarily, but get out to a live show. Go support some local music. We all know what the last 2 years have been like, but like local, like smaller dive bars, like the Bill's Bars of the world. Me and Bill first were going to see shows. Like if you have an opportunity, and that's in Boston, if you have an opportunity, whether it's a friend's band or friend or a friend, or you and a buddy are just trying to like find an excuse to go grab a drink, go to a show. Support these local bands, because with all due respect to the massive bands that are out there, like they're going to be okay. Like, spoiler, like they're going to be fine. The smaller acts or like the opening acts, like just go and support some local music and your local restaurants and everything. Get out if you can, if you feel comfortable. The podcast nonprofit partner, Frank Says Hi, since 2008. Frank Says Hi has been raising funds for those affected by cancer, from students going to college to direct funds to cancer patients at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute with unique experiential events. You can check out franksishigh.com if you want to donate, get more information. Bill, we got a loaded show. We're going to be doing the Mount Rushmores of WrestleMania. We have 11 different categories. We could have had 100. We literally could have went on all day. We like to roll with the podcaster's dozen, but we'll save some of this for later. I don't know how, all the ins and outs, but I have to just start the show that's a very pontification here, but the loss of Taylor Hawkins, I don't know how to explain this any better. So I just have to just get this off my chest. We're older now, clear. Older. We're not old.
We're almost 40.
Yeah, but it depends on what people think. Like, I don't know what old is anymore. I'm going to use the number 50. So when we're doing this podcast in 10 years and we're saying we're almost 50, then I'll be like, yeah, I'm old. We're older, but now I'm starting to recognize, like, I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, if your dad was affected by, like, deaths of, like, famous people or musicians or sports stars. Like, was there anybody in his life, or your parents, your mom or uncles, anybody, like, was there anybody in your life that you remember, like, somebody dying and like them being affected by, but they didn't personally know them?
Probably Reggie Lewis, I would say, was one that comes to mind.
The perfect example. So like Reggie Lewis wasn't like, your dad didn't know him. He was just probably a big sports fan, big Celtics fan. It was a scary scene. I think that was against the Hornets in the playoffs when he collapsed.
Then he died while there.
Yeah, horrible. But I'll never forget when George Harrison died, my dad, in legitimate tears. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Now, I'm not going to say I was in legitimate tears. I'm not going to pretend to compare and contrast. But the Foo Fighters, whenever people say, what are your favorite bands? Auto Beatles. That's my favorite band. Mm-hmm. But then after that, there's like this like four or five bands that I just absolutely love. That includes a Weezer, Foo Fighters, Jimmy Eat World. Like those are where I'm probably going to go next of like my all-time favorites. And when I was going to bed, it was like 11:30. I think this was Friday night. And I saw that post from the Foo Fighters that Taylor Hawkins had died. I don't know why. And I can't explain it now because I don't feel exactly the same. But I felt like a friend, not like a close friend, but somebody I knew had just died. And it shocked me. It messed me up. And then all I've been listening to is Foo Fighters since. And it is just so goddamn sad. That guy was so full of life, such an energetic. And like the opportunities I've had with my, you know, time in radio was like, I got to like speak to someone mm-hmm. like him before. And it was amazing. So I don't know. That just got me. I don't know if people out there can relate to that. If you're listening to this, being like, oh, I felt that with something else. But it messed me up there. Like, that was a weird night's sleep for me going into Saturday. That doesn't just hit you. Like, even Scott Hall, the week before we just had the whole podcast, like, that oddly affected me. Like, that was such a weird week. So Scott Hall dies in one, you know, and then the next week you get Taylor. When Betty White died, that sucked. But I don't have, like, this feeling towards
Betty
White.
Well, she was also 100 almost. This guy was half her age.
It's a great point.
Yeah, and, you know, him and Dave Grohl, you know, were like brothers. They almost looked like brothers. So,
oddly,
you know, it's I think Mac made the point, you know, the last rock band really around. I mean, you know, straight up rock.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one. Like, yeah, I understand. I think they're the last mass, because Pearl Jam, of course, mm-hmm. Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they kind of were after them by... You
know. Still touring, still making music, still like, relevant, I guess. I don't know, but it sucks. I didn't know I had no idea he was the drummer for Alanis Morissette on her Jagged touring Pill. Drummer. Yeah. It's super sad, and you found out he was, you know, there was a lot of medication in his system, so he had problems in the past. It's never, you know, you never want to see anybody go before it's like, what's their time? But, you know, 50 is way too young.
Yeah. And they just like, I was watching the live performance. I think it was Argentina was their last show. Just, I don't know. Like, it's weird. This is why I feel like this is getting older. And it just crushed me to watch him. Obviously, he performed because were you at the Fenway show with us? I always forget.
I've seen them like five times and they're not even one of my favorite bands. Well, I like them a lot, but they're not one of my favorite bands.
I know we went together the Foozer show, the famous. We can get to that in a second. Were you with us in Worcester? You were there that night too, right? The Nickel Dime night?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So those two shows, I specifically remember you being there. I just didn't remember Fenway, but I don't think you were. It doesn't matter. But like in the latter portion, the last few years, Taylor comes out and sings like a Queen song. Somebody loved me, you know, and they showed that before. Like you can watch their last concert as a full band. And man, it's just like, everything's always, but like the way he spoke, the way he moved, like there was just those weird, like, you know, those notions where it's like the ultimate word to go to wrestling. Mm-hmm. He had that amazing promo on Raw and then he's dead the next day.
Yeah.
It's almost like in a weird sense of that, like he had this like exuberant light, like they showed him playing the drums. He did an insane solo that I guess he didn't do in previous shows. And it's like, then the dude's dead like 3 days later. I don't know. Just very strange, but you can watch that show over the Foo Fighters. I completely implore you to check out, listen to as much Foo Fighters music and, you know, celebrate the life of an awesome dude. And go back and watch one of the coolest performances of all time. You hear it everywhere. The Everlong acoustic you hear is from Howard Stern in the late, I think it was 98. Don't quote me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Dave playing the guitar and singing. But the visual of the video has Taylor Hawkins looking like, I don't know how to explain this any better, but almost like a teenage girl in a fetal position. It's just odd the way he's sitting in the couch with him, just rocking out and admiring Dave, admiring him. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of the coolest visuals, odd 3 years ago. Now in retrospect, very, very cool. So that song you hear every time you hear the stripped down version is that version. And then just knowing that Taylor Hawkins is just sitting next to him on the couch. That's like me watching Bill edit amazing videos and just sitting there on his couch, gawking at him.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say, too, is people who are like, well, he wasn't on the first two albums. He is the Foo Fighters. He's one of the, like, one of the members. Like,
he wasn't in the first album. He was on the second album.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Making that point all week, and it's like, no, he's the Foo Fighters.
And the only last thing I'll say about it is, the first album was all Dave Grohl. No other, he had a couple, like, Pat Smear, because he, you know, that's like his dude. But, like, it was all Dave Grohl. the very first album. Then Color in the Shape, that's when he created the band. That's when Taylor joined, because that's when he was like, I need a drummer. Mm-hmm. And when he realized Dave, you can listen to interviews. He originally thought he was going to be a singer drummer. He thought he was going to be like a Phil Collins. Mm-hmm. And then he was like,
Oh yeah, hang up, because they're only two people. So to tour, they need to get like a band.
And that's like the same story. So they're going to find a guy or girl, and then that could be their future. But anyways, a lot of emotion there with the Foo Fighters. Could be some, you know, future pod just on that. So Bill, let's get into it. It's WrestleMania week. It is WrestleMania 30 freaking 8. The only way I know how old I am is by WrestleMania, just minus one, because we were both the same year. Yeah, your actual age, which is funny, because 85 obviously was the first WrestleMania. You were like 4 months old. No, you were a year old. Like,
yeah, year and change.
And I was like 3 months old. But yeah, so WrestleMania 38 shaping up to be a show. It'll be two nights. I'm going to do a preview pod later in the week, but let's get into this. We decided we're going to do the Mount Rushmore of several different categories.
So never been done before, by the way.
No, never. Have you ever heard of a Mount Rushmore, people doing it?
Of Mount Rushmores? No.
So it's a Mount Rushmore of Mount Rushmores of WrestleMania. So we have 11 categories. The first one, we both just picked two. We didn't do a big list like we normally do.
By the way, I forgot to take out the trash this morning. I can hear it right now.
Oh, that's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
So, sorry, another aside. Last week, I texted my wife. She was going out. She sometimes goes classes in the morning. So Wednesday morning's my trash. I said, can you take the trash to the top of the street? Because you've seen my house. It's a weird little road I live in. You have to like push it up. No response. Comes in the house. I hear the trash. I look out. Just goes right by my house. I go, what the hell? She goes, oh, I didn't know that's what you meant. What the hell is, can you take the trash to the top of the road mean? Like, did she like?
And she didn't ask a follow up. She was just like, I don't get this.
There was no response to my text. She came home. I just thought she did it. I see the trash truck. I look out because my son, we love the trash truck. And we laugh. And I just see him just scoot right by. And I go, because to get to my house, it's like the best way to explain it is like an L, like a 90-degree angle. So I have to like come in, pick up the trash, back up, go up the street. So I don't hear any of that. And I'm like,
Fair. To her credit. What? As a significant other, I would have done the same thing. I would have saw a question I didn't understand and been like, meh.
that's okay. Where you go there, like, naivete. Like, I didn't know what you meant. She literally was like, I didn't know that's what you meant. The hell? Like, it was like clear direction. It's like, hey, can you say hi to my friends for me? I didn't understand. Anyways. All right. We'll get into our first Mount Rushmore. Bill picked two. I picked two. No big, you know, usually we do these huge lists when we do stuff like this. Come on, there's 11 categories, people. What do you want from us? Entrances, WrestleMania entrances. We'll ping back and forth. Bill, you go first.
Okay. So mine would be, I'll start with the more nostalgic one for certain reasons. We kind of mentioned it last week. Razor Ramon at WrestleMania 10. I know it's probably not the biggest well to do, but I still think it might be one of the coolest things ever. Because the stigma of stepping underneath the ladder for bad luck and then going to wrestle a match where you win the championship is still one of the most baller things I've ever seen.
I saw this on here and I said, this is such recency bias bullcrap. But then I took my judgmental hat off and stopped being a piece of work. And I watched it. It might be simplistically the cool. It's right up there with Stone Cold WrestleMania 13.
Where the glass tights walk to the ring, yeah.
And he just comes down and he looks like a badass. This one's right up there, or this one might be the next level up because of the ladder. He comes out, the music, he's big, tall, slow walk. And then I think he came out after Michaels, when Michaels danced around the ladder. The bad guy looks at the ladder, sizes it up, dips under, and like you said, does his arms out, cocky, like stroll under, and wins the match, which I think makes the entrance even better. So for me, one of the most memorable ones for me was the Undertaker's return at WrestleMania 20. So why? There's a lot of excellent Undertaker ones you could choose. I was right up there. WrestleMania 29 was another one for me against CM Punk because he like had all the graves and stuff up there. It was really cool. Even 30 was great. But this one's specifically special because it's been almost 5 full years since we got the Dead Man Undertaker. He wasn't at 20, 17. That's where the badass. So 16, 2017, 18, 19, four WrestleManias over 5 years. We hadn't seen this entrance. And I thought the way they did it, the druids, the fire, like the two like torches on each side, epic stuff. So and then the return of the dead man and his like awesome like turn. That's when he started doing that really cool turn with the cape, the jacket that looked like a cape. Just really epic. One of the longest entrances in WrestleMania history at the time.
I mean, I think he probably has the top of the top 10. He probably has 9 of them.
I think I saw somewhere that he has like 8 out of 10. There's a Triple H.
Two one Triple H's, there. Yeah.
I know there's somebody. I thought there was somebody.
Is it the Cena one with the 100 Cenas? Because that would have been an honorable mention.
That was close to getting on here. It's either that one or the one where Cena drives in with the car, because there's like literally like a 3-minute video of him drive like a car driving around Chicago. So what is your other entrance?
I'll just get another quick honorable mention out of the way. The Rusev tank was always good. I always liked that.
Yes. Okay. I was.
He had sex in the tank the day before too. Or the morning. Honestly, before.
That story makes that legendary.
Mm-hmm. But I'll go with one day to one of my weddings. Hopefully, the way I get to enter is Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 12 on the zip line, the boyhood dream, just like zipping on down. It's amazing, and he doesn't even land anywhere near the ring. He lands in the
middle of the crowd,
and then he has to walk all the way to it. And his song isn't like that long. I think it loops.
So the funny thing about WrestleMania 12. Which that this come from. So two fun facts. I've recently been just having WrestleManias on the background, and I watched that full match. Much better than even I remember, but I still understand when people say it's a bit boring. But it's an awesome overall product. They should have been a fall each, but anyway. Mm-hmm. His entrance, the song plays 2.5 times. When Shawn Michaels wins, it plays 2.5 times. He really stays in that ring. He seemed like a real piece of work after that. Mm-hmm. But that entrance, epic. And also, you've probably seen this. It's on the interwebs. Vince did it the day before. Vince showed
him. Did he really?
Yeah, so Vince is a psychopath, as we know. But there's video out there of him coming down on it because they had to find out what you just said, where to land, because he couldn't go to the ring because they couldn't attach it to one of the ring posts because he would have came down too low and could have hit the opposite ring post, which is a very weird thing because we don't see these entrances anymore because of unfortunate accidents. Yes. And think about it, just messed up, but that's what makes this entrance even cooler. We're never going to see something like that ever again. Like never. So
yeah, nobody's going to shoot in from the Raptors, especially with what happened to Owen.
Yeah, and there's like WWE, and I doubt AEW or any other federation is going to even want to have that. Because as soon as you see somebody do something like that, it's immediately going to go there. Mm-hmm. So awesome entrance, though. I hated Shawn Michaels.
I cried when Bret Hart lost this match.
Yeah, I did. It was so pissed because they would never say anything about overtime. But that entrance is so goddamn cool. And you see it in every WrestleMania pack. My last one, to wrap this one up, Triple H WrestleMania 30. It's hard to pick a Triple H. I watched 4 of them. He has some really bad ones. His last few have been pretty poor. Yeah. And I've obviously been there for all these. I didn't mind his WrestleMania 32. That's one of the longest, where Stephanie does this whole diatribe about things. And then he comes out with all these like dead soldiers. This one right here, simple, awesome. King of Kings. He's sitting up there. That's where we didn't know at the time. Sasha. Yeah. Alexa, and Charlotte are the like goddesses, if you will, around the king. He's got the dead skull. He's about to go into opening match against Daniel Bryan, one of the best matches in WrestleMania. He just looks badass the way they take all the stuff off. Boom, they hit the game, the slow walk. Everything about this and I think it's also cool because it starts the night. It's the first entrance of the night. So I will give that our Mount Rushmore of entrances. Let's go to title changes, Bill. I think we all went world titles. It could have been any, but you
first. Warrior Hogan over at WrestleMania 6, I think is one of the better ones because as a kid, I didn't see it coming. And I mean, this was the time where they were kind of in and out on Hulk Hogan and they finally passed the torch. I mean, he was involved in the main event, I think up until what, WrestleMania 10?
So technically he went 1 through 8. No. He went 1, 2, 5, 6, 7.
But he was 8. At 4.
Yeah, he was at 4, and then he obviously 9. He won 9. He was at 9. Yeah. It was supposed to be a complete different.
I mean, they tried to pass the torch a bunch of times, but this one seemed like the most legitimate. And probably one of his better matches, especially at WrestleMania.
We'll definitely talk more about these main events at Hulk, but you're 100% right. Like, just so you know, WrestleMania 4 ended with Macho Man beating Ted DiBiase. Mm-hmm. It's coming up. But, and well, I guess I could just segue into that. Yeah. That's mine. One of mine is Macho Man because of the same reason. These two are very parallel in a lot of ways. Macho Man was super popular. Started to gain all that, like, pre-Slim Jim 90, like, just the worker's worker. Him and Warrior were those two, like, other guys outside of Hogan. He just finished his long IC title run as a heel, and then he became babyface, wins a tournament at 4 to become the champion. That's on the Mount Rushmore. But what you're saying is these are two potential moments to pass the guard. Now, we came to learn that the Macho Man win was more to set up an amazing story, which we'll talk about. But the Warrior win is a definitive. It's the first time Hulk Hogan was pinned in the middle of the ring at a WrestleMania clean. And I think it's the only time that, well, later it happened, but like that didn't happen often. And yours is literally like, I think the biggest title win potentially in the history of the company, because it was literally like, there was nobody ever, like Stone Cold never lost the title at WrestleMania to the next incumbent babyface. Like John Cena never lost the title at WrestleMania to the next incumbent babyface. It's the only time this really ever happened. And it's absolutely amazing. And like you said, like, I think as children, it was like, oh, wow, we're all like, everybody was on board with the Warrior aside from Hulk Hogan, who was like, yeah, we're gonna have to squash that. And the famous kick out late. I'll just give my other one.
Yeah. And then he had to get the win back in WCW because he's Hogan.
I know. And then destroyed. That's a weird, that whole story is messed up because that's how British Bulldog broke his back. And then so on from there. I'll just give you my other one. Kofi Kingston over Daniel Bryan. Again, we have parallels on this one. I fought with myself. I actually originally had Becky over Ronda Charlotte just because it was the first ever women's main event. But as
too lackluster.
It was 7 hours too late. Mm-hmm. As special and as spectacular as that whole thing was, regardless of the way everything played out, there's nothing more. We'll talk more about this match specifically as we go or build, but Kofi Kingston beating Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35, 5 years after, which is also on here, so we can just talk about it. Daniel Bryan's rise.
Mm-hmm.
And he being the first
perfect parallel black, story too.
Yeah. Parallel story. The first ever black champion too, that really was never truly talked about until afterwards. And then with Kofi, like that's a special ass moment that I think WWE is still making a mistake, not doing more with, like not talking enough about stuff like that.
Well, they squashed him out in one of the worst ways I've ever seen. And then they didn't even let him get his heat back or his, you know, the win back kind of at the Royal Rumble or anything.
Nope. He literally, the saddest part is he lost to Brock Lesnar that first SmackDown on Fox. Then 2 next
seconds.
Okay, you can maybe make it a story, right? No. But let me just play it out for WWE's sake. Let's make it a story. The next week he's in a tag match, smiling, coming out, clapping, doing the, it's like, what? And then they do the exact same thing to Big E 3 years later. And the next week he's on SmackDown on a tag match. God damn it. Anyways, all right. So then you have Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30.
I mean, this is probably the best one, I would say. It's the most emotional. He had a great match earlier in the night against Triple H. It's kind of like Bret Hart, 20 years later. And it's
crazy.
It's just one of those moments that I was excited, I was emotional for. And it was probably one of the first ones where I was really all in back on wrestling and in on Daniel Bryan. And it's just a great moment to see him on the announce table, you know, just. The crowd's going nuts. It's in New Orleans. It's probably one of the best visuals up there with, Seth Rollins coming down the aisle and, you know, Shawn Michaels coming down. Like it's probably a top 10 iconic still of WrestleMania and wrestling.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was the fans winning. It truly was if you felt like a fan, like you won. And that was an amazing WrestleMania. And I remember being there, like you were in my apartment at the time. We were all together. Emotional roller coaster at an event. WrestleMania 30 is still like just outstanding, rewatchable, fun. It's good stuff. And I completely agree. Daniel Bryan at 30, a couple honorable mentions could be, you know, it's stuff, but Benoit 20. Mm-hmm. I had Bret Hart at 10 just because it was that final movement. Like he is our guy. There was a few, like I said, I had Becky Lynch in there. There was also, there was another women's thing I thought I had, but maybe not. All right, let's just get into performers. We got a lot to bang through here. So these are the Mount Rushmore WrestleMania performers. Bill, who do you got?
All right, so obviously it's going to be my guy, HBK, Mr. WrestleMania. He has my top three favorite matches at WrestleMania. He just always brings it on the biggest stage. He'll kind of upstage you at maybe a SummerSlam like Hulk Hogan, but he really is, I think, on an elite level, an AJ Styles, Kenny Omega level in the ring, and probably has, you know, even you know, Razor and him at WrestleMania 10. You knew this kid had something.
Yeah, I'm just off the top of my head. I know he fought at 9. Who was that again? He fought Tatanka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, opening match.
Yeah, throw that one in the trash. I think that was his first single. So he goes 10 at rate, has Razor, 11 against Diesel, 12 against Bret Hart, 13 lost a smile, 14 against Stone Cold, passes the torch, like literally like never to be seen from, we thought again. Comes back 19 Jericho, outstanding match, not talked enough about. 20s in the triple threat with Benoit, Triple H, really outstanding match. Story's a little messy. 21
is that Cena?
Vince? Is that Vince? So hold on. I know he goes Vince, Cena, Angle, the next three. I just don't know the order. Then after 24, he's got Ric Flair. 25, Taker. 26, Taker. Literally outstanding. Outstanding matches. The one against Kurt Angle may even be the tops. And no, again, him and Jericho, him and Angle, not talked enough about. Show stealers. Like, amazing matches. There was rumors. The only thing I'll just mention, there was rumors of him versus Rey Mysterio at one point. Which, if you replace Vince, even though that was a cool, like, street fight thing, I guess. But if you replace Vince with Rey Mysterio, how cool would that be? Like,
yeah, I mean, he could have had a Eddie Guerrero-type match with him, I'm sure. Or even
imagine Eddie Almas. Guerrero. That was another one. That was the alleged match. Before Eddie passed, it was going to be Eddie and Rey. I mean, Eddie and Sean, which, holy cow. But, yeah, undoubtedly, I don't think anybody could argue HBK being on here. For me... Again, we heard some news, Triple H no longer going to be wrestling. He's got a freaking pacemaker or a defibrillator in his chest. Scary stuff. That interview, also very sad. But Triple H is one of the all-time performers. Honestly, I could understand the argument, and I'll jump in because I could see you, potentially you being this type of person. He kind of has a Craig Biggio to him. Like, just done.
Oh, yeah. So I don't, much. I'm with Bret Hart. I can think of one or two really good Triple H matches, but to me, he's more of one of the best sellers that never got guys over.
Yeah. Here's the problem. His highs are great. So off the top, and again, I might do a little small pod on just his WrestleMania runs this week, just to get some more wrestling content in. But obviously Warrior 12, we remember that one. I think he had some random one on, like, you don't remember all, like, I think at 14, he fought Owen Hart. 15 was against Kane. And that's when the whole DX split. 2000, you had him in the title four way. 17 against The Undertaker. 18 returns. Main event against Jericho. 19 against Booker T. 20, Triple Threat. 21, Cena. 22, I think he was hurt. 21 is against Batista. 22 is against Cena. Injured for 23, and then it turns into a little bit of no man's land. I think he fights
Orton, Sheamus. Orton,
Triple H, 25. I think Sheamus at 26, two Undertakers. Then at 29, Brock Lesnar. 30 against Daniel Bryan, all-timer. 31 against Sting. 32 against Roman Reigns in the worst main event in the history, and it was my first one. 33, Seth Rollins. 34...
Kurt Angle,
Match, yep. And 35, I think his last WrestleMania against Batista's retirement match, which nobody's gonna remember. So
yeah, he's not.
He's got amazing like entrances, aura. He's got some really good matches in there, but it's just such a up and down, and his main events are really, unfortunately, super lackluster. Like no one.
I think he's just a little bit off the tick of a guy who needed a WrestleMania match every year as his character. I don't think I need a Triple H match every WrestleMania. I think he's just below that level. He's not Undertaker level. And I got why we got the Undertaker one. I never got why we got the Triple H one or the Shane McMahon one for that matter.
Yeah, it's like the nostalgia pull. And here's my one argument for all these things. And I think the big issue I have with this WrestleMania is if you want to have the Triple H match, quote unquote, build it for time. Like the one with Daniel Bryan was made ton of sense. Even the Sting match made sense. It was a story that was like told over months. Then Seth Rollins even. Okay, the one with like Roman Reigns, I know there was a ton of injuries and they needed to pull like the emergency, but like him winning the title and then like he's the guy to give the title over to Roman Reigns, like, yikes. You got Brock Lesnar on your in your like cards and you go Triple H? I don't know. And I know they probably didn't want to go back-to-back Roman versus Brock Lesnar, but don't worry, we're getting it for the third time in the main event this year. But you mentioned him, the aforementioned Undertaker, clearly on the list.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. Who do I have next? Oh, the Undertaker. Yeah. That's my guy. I mean, obviously, he's got a million matches, two of the best ever in a row. His one of the ones against Triple H, I don't remember which one it is, but that was great as well.
Honestly, I think all the Triple H matches are really good. 27, I don't know why people think that's the best one. That one's literally like playing, by the way, WWE 2K22, if you so choose to play video wrestling video game. Excellent, Bill. Excellent.
Worth Isn't really? They fixed yes. all the crap that went wrong.
I've had a run so far playing this game. I've had a real blast. I needed something to distract me sometimes, and that is, it's a lot of fun. So anybody who, questioning, it's really fun. But it's like a match that they come out with their specials. Like, Triple H is hitting pedigrees. Undertaker's hitting all his finishers. Obviously, it was a long storyline post-Shawn to the next one. But I like WrestleMania 17, personally. That street fight is awesome. They go all around the arena in Houston. But yeah, there's very few clunkers. Like, even the match against Ric Flair, while it's not a great match, it's just iconic. Like, Undertaker-Flair.
Well, I mean, there's him versus Bull Buchanan, I believe, and him versus Giant Gonzalez. But
19, you're thinking of 19. It was A-Train and Big Show versus Undertaker and supposedly Nathan Jones, but they pulled him.
He looked like Bull Buchanan, though, right?
Yeah, it was just a joke. That's where like I'd love those like Pritchard podcasts, and they're just like, oh yeah, we were trying to like build Nathan Jones, so we're going to use the Undertaker. It's like, it's the freaking and it's only this like year three. This is 10 years later after. It's like all the nines were like weird ones for him. Then he got CM Punk, which was awesome. And then obviously Brock Lesnar loses the streak. Even the Bray Wyatt match. Cool visuals. But yeah, the Undertaker's an all-timer. And I'll just wrap this one up with Hulk Hogan. You can't, like, I was really trying to debate who else. Hulk Hogan main evented, like, was heavily involved in the first nine WrestleManias. And then his return to WWE, The Rock at WrestleMania 18, the street fight with Vince at 19, like, and then his moment even at WrestleMania 30 with that big entrance and with The Rock and Stone Cold, all-timer, like, just amazing stuff. The matches aren't outstanding, but it's Hulk freaking Hogan in the height of wrestling. Can't go around. All right, let's start kicking these up in match. Best matches, Bill.
I mean, I have Undertaker, HBK. I have the 25 one, the first one. It's usually better than the sequel sometimes. I think we talked about this with Austin and Bret Hart, even one of my other favorites, John Cena and AJ Styles. But this match, one of the all-time greats. I think it is the greatest WrestleMania match. I think it's also about 25 minutes. And these are two guys who are not even at the top of their game, really. I mean, this was 13 years ago now. But they're still older. Like, their run, their prime, their physical prime was probably in, like, 1998 for the both of them. And they had a couple of good matches. One of the Royal Rumble where Shawn Michaels actually breaks his back a little bit, and that's what caused him to leave wrestling for the first time. They have another great In Your House, where it's the first time I ever saw him do the dive over the top rope.
Yeah, the flying cow.
But all of those spots in this, Shawn Michaels pulling out all the stops, Undertaker doing all the things. It's just a beautifully wrestled match, start to finish, very fluid. Probably my second favorite WrestleMania match.
Yeah, for me, Stone Cold Bret Hart, WrestleMania 13. It's iconic. The match is incredible. The story's really damn good. Ken Shamrock, retrospectively, it's weird. But at the time, it's like, Ken Shamrock was Mike Tyson before Mike Tyson, like for WWE. He was never that level of fame, but he was like a badass, looked awesome. The first time I've ever seen the sleeveless referee shirt.
He was also more believable. I knew something was up with, Mike Tyson just made it feel unreal.
Yeah, and he was like more of the part of the story. Like, we didn't see Ken Shamrock on promos or big introductions, which they probably should have done. But anyways, he was being in a submission match. Obviously, the reason this becomes iconic is Stone Cold bleeds out. That's how the match ends. He becomes a good guy.
Yeah, baby double face.
Bret becomes a heel. It's amazing. Then him and Shamrock, I don't know why. I wish there was something with them further down the road. Never got it, but just an awesome visual.
Yeah, and then for me, and you kind of mentioned this already, I think HBK versus Shawn Michaels is one of the smoothest matches.
No, Chris Jericho, you mean?
Chris Jericho. Would I say HBK versus Shawn Michaels? That's what and Amaretto and Di Serrano.
Yeah, which I've been around many a time.
HBK, Y2J, that's probably a little bit why it screwed me up there. But this match, WrestleMania 19, besides the entrance where Shawn Michaels had those dumbass guns that didn't work.
Oh,
so stupid.
We've all been there, Sean. We've all been there. A little shooting blank.
But like, it was like American Gladiator guns that didn't work. It was hilarious.
And he kept like doing, and the best part was, this was like revised Sean, much more calm and cool. And he was
short
like,
short hair.
Yeah, that was that visual still. That whole year when he wins a title later Dutch with boy, the poopy pants. Yeah, ugh. But yeah, he's like, just like the way he blows off the things. And then when the third one doesn't work, he just kind of like slams it down. Mm-hmm.
But it was a nicely told story in the ring. It was kind of that master versus apprentice feel to it. And it's just smooth start to finish. It's like a classic wrestling match of two guys who are a little bit high flying, but super technical.
I just have to mention, Jericho tells an awesome story about this, that he came up with the finish of the match. He had the whole second half. Him and Shawn meet at Safeco Field, and they're in the back. And Shawn's like, hey, he comes up to him and goes, hey, let's talk about the match. Like, yeah, what's going on? And he tells him, Shawn says, I have the first half of the match. And Jericho, Jericho's like, I have the second half of the match. They looked at each other and they knew right in that moment, Jericho tells us, he's like, right in that moment, we were going to have an awesome match. He's like, we were going to steal the show. Because if you have a guy of Shawn Michaels and a guy like Chris Jericho coming up with two different parts of a story and we're going to blend it together, he's like, I knew it would be magic. And he also tells a very quick aside that he didn't know he was going to face Shawn at Mania. Shawn actually chose him after the SummerSlam return. They had like a little like one-off thing at Raw, I think, somewhere when Shawn was like becoming a full-time wrestler again. And Jericho went to like Vince and was like, hey, like, what do we think of Romania? Like, he was coming off of a main event the year before. And he was like, I just want to keep my character like somewhat hot. Like, I just don't want to be lost in like some random match. And he's like, Shawn requested you. And Jericho was like, I'm made. Like, I'm in. Like, this is when he knew he was like royalty to WWE. And then my last one, and definitely going to be on Mount Rushmore, Hardys, Dudleys, Edge and Christian, not 2000, the TLC, 17. This is the third time they've actually fought in this trip, like a triangle ladder match. This one's outstanding. Like the 2000 WrestleMania version is really, really good because you didn't see something like that. This match is, it's insanity.
Bedlam. Yeah.
It really is. In total credit to Spike Dudley, Rhino, and Lita for all playing very fun roles within this match. So that's the Mount Rushmore of best matches. Theme songs, Bill, we can kind of bang through this one.
Yeah, I mean, the original one to me is still the greatest one. The da-na-na-na-na-na, our friend that does the most ridiculous dance. And then my other one there is Big Time.
Yeah,
because it was such an they never do that anymore. Peter Gabriel, WrestleMania 22, the song came out probably 20 years before that, but I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. And it also gave it a great feel. Like some of these seems to give it a feel. For me, Limp Bizkit, 17, just perfect timing, fitting. 2001, I think like the very height of like that like rap rock genre, like getting over to the next level. This is like pop culture wise. And then a few years later, it was WrestleMania 24, the Saliva, Ladies and Gentlemen. It just, I love the song. But also just like when you watch the video package return, like the way they, I don't know how, and you would know this. This is like your line of work. How the hell they edited the video package to recap through the song at the end, including the main event that just took place 13, you know, minutes before, like getting that. I just think it's amazing how they like put it all in. It's probably cutting two feeds, of course, but like there's no way they editing the whole thing like that quickly. But
either way, it's amazing. You don't have to like export it in like one of those systems.
Yeah, they just like have a different like go to like this feed. But anyway, it's just really cool. But that one also has that big feel like when you watch that sound. Like now they're just using like pop songs like The Weeknd or even like Flo Rida a few years ago. It's fun, a green light and all that, but it doesn't have that like, oh, this feels like something big. And I just think like rock in like that genre, even though Big Time's a weird like poppy song, like it just has more of that like
they would never do it nowadays because you know they make too much money probably from the song promotion and all that kind of stuff. But remember how they used to do the retro Raws?
Yes.
I would love a retro WrestleMania one day.
But you know what's funny? So I've brought this up to friends. I think that that's what WrestleMania 40 should be. They've modernized things so much. 40, I don't know. We don't know the location right now. 39, we know is going to be in LA. they have a real, like, I think that's the next chapter and like what's going to happen with wrestling. Like, I want to know what that visual is because they nailed it. 10 was Brett, well, one, you know, 10 was Bret Hart being crowned. Mm-hmm. 20 was Chris Benoit. 30 was Daniel Bryan. So they have to, like, they've lucked their way into some of those, but like 40 is a real opportunity. But what you're saying, like, I think get the old logo, like the one on my shirt, get like the old music, like make it feel like it's like
red, white, blue ropes, blue guardrail, like do the whole thing.
Even for a part of it anyways, but those are our song wise. So match buildups, the Mount Rushmore match build. I'll just start here. HBK Undertaker, 25 might be the better match. 26 was the greatest buildup maybe of all time.
Yeah. And you're in the making.
Shawn Michaels saying it was at the Slammy Awards saying, I almost had him. I need him again. There's this whole story where he screws the Undertaker out of a title belt. Undertaker screws Shawn, Shawn loses in the Rumble. So he felt like desperate. He needed to get it. They have the, we'll talk about songs build songs or if you will. But this whole match, like basically Shawn Michaels just wanted to face the Undertaker. He wanted the title. Then he loses at the Rumble clean. No weird Daniel Bryan at, you know, 2017 or 16 and 15. And he then attacks the Undertaker to force the Undertaker to lose his belt, then forces him to take the match. But Undertaker says, the only way I'm taking this match, if you put your career on the line. Amazing. Like just epic build, in my opinion.
Yeah. And actual real good stakes for me, yes. Hogan versus Macho Man. In retrospect, hearing it, I didn't really live this at the time because I was 4 probably. But you hear a lot of stuff on the Bruce Pritchard podcast. I'd like to call a little bullshit on a lot of the stuff that he says, like the, ooh, he touched her butt at the end of 5. And like, maybe I think they kind of just luck into that stuff. Oh,
at the Survivor Series.
Yeah. Oh, was it Survivor Series? At the end of 5. The end of 4 is when he comes out. No, that might be the end of 4 when he comes out and celebrates with Macho Man, right?
I think the butt touch is when Liz ripped the bottom of her dress off to distract the team when they were, it was a tag team match. And then he like lifts her up, like Hogan lifts her up.
No, so I think there's something like a faint butt touch.
Yes. That's at the end of it. Sorry.
But like you get the lust in your eyes, you get the great build up. Macho Man is probably, for hyping up a match, maybe the greatest promo. And I
mentioned Hogan, this. Just like two of the best.
Yeah, but like Macho Man, lust in your eyes, brother. Like he was a maniac. He was sweating. He was beat red. So this is probably, I haven't looked at the lists for a lot of these, but this probably would be one or two on most
people's
lists.
It's the greatest of all time because the Easter eggs, the nuance, and Macho Man being a good guy, and you can kind of understand, like being, like we say, best villains are ones you can kind of, you understand their motives. And sometimes, how dare I say, best villains have points, like actual points, not like
this is a little Jada Pinkett, Will Smith,
kind of. I just think this is an amazing story. And then Liz gets caught in between. Then the time Liz gets knocked out, Hogan goes to the back, leaving Macho Man, I think, to like the Warlord, and I forget who that. And he loses, and that's where everything kind of goes awry. And it was kind of like the whole thing, like Macho Man finally ascends to being the champion, but he was concerned about everything else, which is underlying story and in a lot of ways reality. For me, Daniel Bryan to WrestleMania 30. It's really Daniel Bryan authority. Randy Orton, Batista are side pieces to this story, but Daniel Bryan wins the title the previous SummerSlam over Cena. Like that, Triple H pedigrees him. Then you go on this whole B-plus player thing. You're never going to be the champion. They actually tried to like take him out of this story, which doesn't make any sense, but the whole rise and he wins the title at Hell in a Cell, but then it was the crooked referee. They stripped it, never happened. Then he fights his way through. No Royal Rumble. Don't worry. Don't put him in there. And then he hijacks Raw. And then over the next like several weeks, just incredible programming of like him trying to get his way to WrestleMania. Him, Triple H is fine. You want the match. It's me versus you. You got to beat me. Just a beautifully told story that they didn't mean to tell. And there's about 3 months of weirdness in there because then he goes into a feud with the Wyatt family, becomes a Wyatt family member. But if you just kind of take that part out, it's just really
a couple cool yes chants in there.
Oh, that is that cage when he does the yes and he strips off the Wyatt outfit. And I believe he had a concussion, he talks about, and he's just wailing. The whole crowd goes wild. That whole yes movement stuff is just engulfed you as a wrestling fan. Even if you weren't, like, I remember my wife, that's when she, like, next level was like very
interesting. Me too. This is when I got back into it.
it was like, wow, this. And there was so much other stuff in the cards, but like he was just so good in his matches and the way he wrestled. Him and Randy Orton at that time were next level stuff.
All right. And to kind of kick flip off of that, if you will, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston is one of my favorites because it was basically the exact same story, role reversed for Daniel Bryan telling Kofi Kingston he wasn't good enough. But this build was great. I think, you know, they should kind of do it like, you know, the hot pitcher or the hot player. Like this deserved to be the main event of the night. And I think it had the main event feel of the night when Kofi won because it was the better build at the time. Once you introduced me, Charlotte Flair into the Triple H with Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, it took the steam out of it. And I know it was the main event of the night, but this was, to me, the shining moment, the one you remember from that WrestleMania over all of them.
Yeah, I think this is obviously the last WrestleMania that wasn't two nights, and I think this obviously was 7 hours.
Yeah, but I think horrible.
Yeah, being there, it's tough. But I think this was the emotional ending of the night for a lot of people. Because after this, you got Triple H, Batista. You had like a bunch of squash matches, like Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio. You had Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns. There was just a lot of filler. And like the Demon versus Bobby Lashley. Like matches, I'm telling you right now, you're probably like, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. But to the point is like, this is why they do two nights. Because this would have been an amazing ender of a night one and a night two. I actually despise this story. Because it was so sloppily done, but at the same time, retrospectively now, because that was the whole thing where like the New Day had to win matches for Kofi. Like, no, Kofi, make him the centerpiece. But the New Day and then the way it all played out, like it was all about them as like a unit, which is really cool. So I agree with you there. Let's go into surprises, Bill. The Mount Rushmore of surprises at WrestleMania.
I mean, we could just start. Should we start with the best one or keep
that? How about this? I'll go with one I think is a little bit down the list. But it's still amazing. I'll go Hardy Boys return at WrestleMania 33.
Like this got ruined for me too.
Well, this got ruined because I was getting a freaking rice bowl or something with.
But it's still cool to be in the moment.
Oh, trust me, the place I was in Campy World Stadium. That's the name of the place in Florida. And literally, it's an old ass like college football like dome cement, and we're in line to get like taco bowls or whatever. Because I'm like, this is a perfect time. Mm-hmm. Like we just saw Enzo do his entrance. We're like, all right, let's go, and. The place, like the New Day music hit. I'm like, oh, they're going to enter themselves. Then the Hardy Boy music hits, and I felt concrete all around me shaking. Ran out there. Awesome. Very cool. But like that is like a true shocking moment because people heard it could happen. Maybe it's going to happen. But when it happened, loss of minds. People lost their minds. It was so cool. And it's the first and only time I can really think of like a legit like out of nowhere surprise in a sense.
Yeah, it was pretty much one of the I was trying to be off social media, but you know how you sometimes just open up Instagram.
You don't mean to.
And it was like just them there with the titles, and I was like, "Fuck!" Because I was coming home from work to watch it. But it's you know, I think it's probably the second best one. I'll go to one here that's more of a. I hate when people do these in like lists in Mount Rushmores, but the Firefly Funhouse match as a whole. Is one of the more surprising things. You get Cena as so many different versions of Cena. It was one of the coolest things, and they really capitalized, I think, on the the space they had to tell that story because of the the times that we were in. It was awesome. Same thing with the Undertaker AJ Styles match, but to me, this one was one of the coolest things, and this is what you should have been doing with Bray Wyatt the whole time.
I think the special part about the Cena one was, like the Undertaker Boneyard match, we kind of knew it was going to be something, but we didn't know it was going to be cinematic. This one, like, I just thought it was the two of them were going to fight again, like they did 5 years earlier. It's like, we've already seen that, or 6 years earlier. The way they pulled it off, a complete annihilation of the biggest, like Hulk Hogan, imagine this at like WrestleMania 13, like, or maybe like 20, or like years after. It's like, the way they did this and the way John Cena was the perfect guy for it too. And I think there's a few others that I think the plans were going to go. Unfortunately, things went awry for Bray shortly after this, but this was just actually happened before then again, but like this was an opportunity to be what you just said is like, what is this whole Fiend character? How do we make it different from the Undertaker and all these things we've seen before? This was it. And this thing is so rewatchable. It's only like 8-9 minutes long, if that. And it is things you never thought you would see on WWE. Like, completely dismantling Vince McMahon, dismantling what Vince McMahon is built by basically saying John Cena is just plugged into a position more than he's earned his position and just destroying everything he's meant and done. And then at the end, he beats him. And we didn't see John Cena until he returned at the end of Money in the Bank in 2021, which was like over a year and change later, which I really wish there was more story to that, though, like how he got out or anything. But the Fiend at that point was gone and null and void. But yeah, awesome surprise there. And then my other one was Brock Lesnar defeating The Undertaker. We don't have to, it still gets me. I still like, I'm like, really? Really? And that, like with the moment it happened, I literally was stunned, shocked, and scared.
I mean, I would have at the time bet my house that he was going to win that match. Because
that match was like no build. There was no build. It was just like, the only thing I remember from that is Undertaker stabbed Brock Lesnar in the hand to like write his name.
They had one of the classic giant pull aparts at a Raw too, but that's.
Yes. Yeah, I believe you're right. And then obviously, what's the big one here? The creme de la creme.
Oh, I mean, I completely forgot. It's Seth Rollins cash-in. Probably the greatest surprise in wrestling history. He's running down, cashes in. He joins the triple threat. Bold move. but at least it makes it a little different than just cashing in at the end. It's a little more exciting. I kind of wouldn't do it as a strategy with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but let's not overthink it. It's professional wrestling. It gives you one of the greatest entrances of all time and one of the greatest exits when he's standing there just spinning the belt over his head like a helicopter.
I mean, and he did that again when he won at 35, but I think it was the camera came off. The crowd was going wild. That should be Seth Rollins. Two things I want from Seth Rollins. I don't care what character. I want the blonde streak back.
Yes.
Very unique.
Oh, my
God. And I want him, whenever he wins a title, to be whipping around his head. It became him. We'll go. This can be another quick one here. The musical performances at WrestleMania. I will go.
They're always awful. Always.
I disagree. Nina Strauss' entrance of Shinsuke Nakamura. You can kind of debate this being a musical performance, but I'm giving it epic. Shinsuke's first ever WrestleMania entrance. This thing is awesome. One of the just coolest visuals. Everything is amazing.
They're always better at
New Japan.
Yeah. No. The
Tokyo Dome.
No, what's the NXT thing called? Takeover. They're always better.
They didn't have somebody like that. Like Nina Strauss did it once, but it was just the grandeur, I think, of this one for me. I also will just put in Living Color bringing out CM Punk at WrestleMania 29. Yeah. Didn't see that coming. Super cool.
The WrestleMania 14 where they had that shitty band that did like the DX engine. Horrible. Oh. Horrible. They're awful.
The guy's voice was so bizarre live.
Yeah, he was terrible. Motorhead at WrestleMania 21. I mean, this is one of the few ones that's really cool because Lemmy always kind of sounds like Lemmy. Snoop Dogg at 32 was pretty cool to see him there for his niece?
Yeah, he is. And by the way, shout out, check this out. On the Peacock, Bill, there's a new show they just put out called Evil, WWE Evil. The Sasha Banks episode, amazing.
Really?
Yeah, very good. And Snoop Dogg's a big part of it and talks a little bit about like their history and stuff. Worst matches at WrestleMania, the Mount Rushmore there. I will say the Women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania 25, embarrassing. And it's honestly like a black eye on the company because
it's a bottom rope one too, right?
I don't even care about that part. It was, you bring legends back, all the women of the roster. Then who wins it? Haha. Vince needs a laugh. Santino Marella as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you. I understand. Like even then it was, I get like funny and like, oh, how the story will play from here. But it's like, this is the, like, and Vince has even said this now, and Pat McAfee on the interview, it's like, he still knows, like, WrestleMania is how people remember you, right? Like, so he decided for the entire history of the women of WrestleMania throughout all time, he's going to have them be remembered in a, or that year be a man winning a women's match. Like, just come on, dude. Like, that was just such classless, and it was just stupid. Like, it would have been better if, like, Beth Phoenix threw him out last, or some one of those moments where somebody you thought was out, wasn't out, threw him out, but embarrassing.
And then I can rip off my two here. Butterbean versus Bart Gunn, just bad for the business. Didn't make any sense why you would have a professional boxer in the ring with a guy who was beating up like John Layfield.
Yeah, and in a boxing
moment,
it was but it was a boxing. Like, why are they doing that in the first place? Like,
could have killed him.
It really could
have killed him.
He like, people will joke. We'll keep the
at not the like times, the Will Smith smack. But
yeah, like he hit him in the same position. But, like, Butterbean threw a legit hand grenade.
And he went to the ground and hit his head off the ropes.
The rope. He could. You really.
He really could have died. Like, there's. Because he gets hit one time before that. And whoever the. Is it. who was the special guest referee? He was a big time boxer at the time. It wasn't like Manny Pacquiao.
Mob Rain was involved.
No, no, it was some very popular boxer at the time. Whoever it was should have stopped the match because the lights were on and nobody was home when he went back out there after he had knocked down the first time. And Butterbean just clean clocked him.
Yeah,
and literally could have killed him.
And it's really sad because that was the end of Bart Gunn. Like, he hasn't done a damn thing. He's been Dark Side of the Ring, but like, that's literally it. Like, there was no programs, there was no stories, there was no nothing.
And then my worst one, LT versus Bam Bam.
See, I have a trouble. I don't think this is as bad. Like, yes. First of all, it's the worst. Maybe right up there with Roman.
It's the worst WrestleMania.
Main events, too. That was so dumb. Mm-hmm. But it's like, for what it was, I guess maybe that's why I.
It's a clown show. You got like Ken Norton Jr. out by the ring. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was foolish. It was really ridiculous. And for me, Brock versus Goldberg 20. Again, not a big dirt sheet guy. I thought this match was going to be everything and more originally because I'm like, no title. These two going at it. It's going to be awesome. Mm. They didn't give a – like, literally, I watched this one again.
Paycheck.
They don't care. They just do not care. I've never seen two wrestlers. And then poor Stone Cold's out there, like, the hottest thing in the world, like, trying to do anything to make people, like, react. They were doing rest hold. They were doing, like whatever, like, grappling. It was bad. And the crowd turned on them. Absolutely embarrassing.
Like their other match where they came out with their specials on and that was it.
Yeah, but that's when they were motivated and cared and weren't both leaving. Celebrities, Bill, the Mount Rushmore celebrities at WrestleMania. I will start this one. Hate this man. Oh, hate's a strong word. Not a fan of this guy whatsoever, but put on a hell of a show. WrestleMania 24, Floyd Mayweather in the big show.
He's a star. He knows how to make money. He knows how to promote
really
himself.
Does. He's a great promoter. I saw him on some like MMA, some are like off-brand podcast thing. That's
I can't read. Famous. One of the richest men in sports.
I know. He goes. He knows. I can read numbers. I love that line. He's like, I can read numbers, and I know what the check says as long as my name's on there. But he talked. This originally was supposed to be like a tag match. It was supposed to be like Batista and Rey Mysterio versus I forget, like Floyd and somebody. A lot of people got hurt. Goes to Big Show in a box. Another like boxing-esque wrestling match. Super awesome visual. And Floyd is just tons of fun in the ring. Like, actually made, like, all the times he's been in a boxing ring, I want to see him get knocked out. Here in a wrestling ring, against a Big Show, the way they did everything with this whole crew, and Big Show, like, tosses them into, like, the entire eye. Just a very fun match. Very well played. And it breaks the Big Show's nose as part of the build-up, too. Just awesome by Floyd. I'll do my other one, too, real quickly. Yep. Bad Bunny last year was awesome. Like, him and Danny.
Phenomenal talent. He is really good. He's a natural. He
really good. And he practiced and he cared and he was
at You can tell he loves the business.
Yeah. And
the song called Booker T.
And I think we'll see him again. I really do. Like, he was really, really good. And like, another guy could care less about his music or anything before this. And then after this, I'm kind of like, he made me a fan. He did what these celebrities try to do by coming into wrestling. Like, they want to make you care about their other things. And he did that really well.
Max says this about, I think you should leave. And I think this was the original brotherhood of like the geeks. It's professional wrestling. It's like Star Wars. Like, you're among family. Like, once you find out Bad Bunny is a lifelong huge wrestling fan, you're like, all right, even if you don't like him, you might listen to a song now, which is like Cardi B. Brilliant by him.
Yeah.
Right?
Cardi B is another one that there's a lot of rumors. She's eventually going to do something because she's a huge wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. She had like, there's pictures of like her with Stone Cold posters when she was a kid. I will mention another guy. We haven't seen it all play out yet because never done an actual like match yet till this year. But Logan Paul fits naturally into wrestling. Like, 100%.
Yeah. 1,000. Yes. That's
I don't stand for like a lot of his outside of wrestling stuff and nonsense and some of the things he says, obviously. But
good,
like,
businessman, though.
He probably is going, like, there's rumors that like we'll see how he performs at WrestleMania this year. He's tagging up with The Miz to take on the Mysterios, but like, he could be a guy. Like, he could be a legit guy if he wants to, and like WWE can call
him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would root against him for sure. And then I got to fill in, I think, most of this list first, or you saw mine and then switched yours, but I have the two best ones that I got to pick. Pete Rose, WrestleMania 14 and 16 with Kane.
And 15. And 15.
Oh, and 15 too?
It went straight through. That was a through. God.
What a guy. The how about a pile driver is one of the great. I still say it to this day. I know I opened the podcast with it, but I'll just say it randomly because it's one of the greatest moments. And it's a great move by Vince to get a guy who's blackballed from one thing and then put him in your Hall of Fame. I mean, Donald Trump is in their Hall of Fame. It's a weird Hall of Fame. Snoop Dogg. So that one. And then I think the biggest one in the history of WrestleMania is Mike Tyson at the time. Couldn't have been a more hot, controversial guy. You pair him with Stone Cold, and there you go, history.
It's the only other person I would debate, and I debated putting them on here, but I went with Bad Bunny over it. Call me bias or recency, but Mr. T is the only other one because Mr. T was part of the first ever WrestleMania.
Cindy Lauper, I guess, too.
Yeah, he had that like Mike Tyson feel because it was like a huge celebrity on television. Mm-hmm. People knew him, household name. Getting to WrestleMania, what is all this? Kind of kicked everything off, but his matches stunk. Like, and then he fought Piper in a boxing match at two, which was awful, hard to watch. But Mike Tyson, you have to remember too, was like boycotted from boxing. I think he was like suspended from boxing at the time, so he couldn't do anything like actually physical. That's why we didn't see much more than just pushing and shoving. And he had to make it seem like he wasn't actually doing it. So that's a really good point. And Mike Tyson shifted everything. When as soon as 98 kicked, it was like WWE's back after like 2 years of kind of middling in the lower portion of the ratings. Now it's on, Bill. Promo packages. The last one we'll do here. These are like what I think is what's special about WWE. Mm-hmm. That to this day, it's going to be hard for, I don't care the shift of like the internet wrestling fans love AEW more than WWE. They love to make fun of WWE. Don't care. I like everything. But this right here is still something that WWE absolutely smashes. It is the promo packages, the video packages to make you care about things you probably could care less about in a matter of 2.5 minutes. For me, I'll go with, I think the one, well, I'll start with HBK Undertaker 26 running up that hill. It's a song you probably don't know, never heard of. Google this because it is such an awesome, again, tells that whole story we talked about earlier where HBK to get to the Undertaker to put his career on the line. That whole story, while this song plays in the background, there's highs of it. There's like lows. It's kind of like a piano driven song. And it is just an amazing package.
To me, this is what I live for. This is what I do for a living. This is what I think I'm pretty good at. I think I could do this for them and come up with some similar packages. Cause like, this is really like, I steal a lot of my ideas from these things. You know, the Daniel Bryan one for WrestleMania 34, the Triple H one is probably one of the, like we said, it's probably one of the best buildups. So it's going to give you the best moments to cut a story out of. And it is.
Yeah. Amazing. You go with one of yours and I'll go back to mine.
All right. And then the Miz, John Cena, Hate Me Now, WrestleMania 27. Not one of the best matches, but one of the coolest things because the Miz was at that time. I know we have our friend Blake who's like, I liked him before everyone liked him. Nobody liked the Miz at WrestleMania 27. No one. And not even almost in the way like you were supposed to not like him. You're just like, get this guy off my TV. I fucking hate him. But this is the perfect song that fit to him. It was a great package. Him sitting back watching it as it all popped up. Almost like the Kanye West video Through the Wire. So it's a very cool visual. And I think it's probably it's my favorite one out of all of them.
It's really cool. I think what you said, I think the reason I can understand people saying this is their favorite is because it pulled somebody from the middle of the card to the main event. But then the promo package made you buy in because it showed it. When they do this and like, this is the problem with WWE. There's so much programming. Even then it was less, but now it's worse. But like when you put something in that 3-4 minute package like this, it made The Miz look like the biggest heel in the business. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, this included The Rock a little bit as part of this buildup because he was the special guest, like our host. Mm-hmm. So you had that as a part of this. You had John Cena, who's like the overcoming babyface year after year after year, getting this title shot. Like, this was really well done. It put the spotlight on The Miz, who you had known for years as the reality guy, to always become a goofy wrestler and wearing the weird pants and the suspenders. And this brought him to that next level in this promo package. Like you said, him sitting there in the suit and looking like $1 million with the title, had Alex Riley as his second, like, really cool. For me, I still don't think it gets any more iconic than the My Way Austin Stone Cold build. I don't want to beat you, Rock. I have to beat you. One of the greatest lines to hype up a WrestleMania event, like the title, Austin, you know, Rock, top guys. But like this right here, when he said that line, and like Roman Reigns said something kind of similar last night on Raw, just to let people know what's happening currently, is like Roman Reigns said something about like, Brock, he's like, this is our third dance at the main event. Like, you're the last thing I need to check off the box to be the greatest of all time. So that's why I'm going to be like, that stuff makes you go, oh shoot. Like, yes, it's wrestling. Yes, we know it's scripted, but that really made it feel special. That sit down with Rock and Austin with the My Way stuff, all their history. They showed 15, the matches they had, Backlash thereafter. This is just their second of three Mania matches, but this thing hits hard. And the Rock being like,
would you say it's their best WrestleMania match? Even though it's the sequel.
Yes. The 15 kind of stinks going back, because 15 was more about Stone Cold, Vince, and The Rock was like a third fiddle. This one was just those two. Unfortunately, Vince plays a role later and the whatever. But 19 is actually excellent as well, especially in retrospect, being, you know, Austin's last match. But this is this is literally like the height of wrestling, like the last boom moment. Like, there's been awesome stuff since, but this is like everybody was watching. This had like the world watching, the world talking. And I think that's why they did the Vince stuff in the Austin turn, because they knew they had the world. And unfortunately, that didn't work. But the package leading in, and like that whole like 36 minute package of the end of WrestleMania 17, from the end of, I think it was Undertaker in Triple H was the last match before this, to the, it just outstanding.
Yeah. And my favorite feud still is their IC feud, but this would be their second best.
Oh yeah. The end of 97 when throwing the belt off. Yeah. Awesome. So what is your final one to end our last Mount Rushmore of WrestleMania's, Bill? What will be your hype package?
Didn't I say it? Daniel Bryan, Monster?
No, you didn't say it yet.
Yeah, I did. I said it before my other one.
Oh, you did before?
Yeah. And then you were like, why don't you say one of yours? And I was like, I just did.
Oh, my bad then. Well, it shows how much I'm paying attention. But I will just say that one, again, regardless of if you knew, you cared, anything, this thing smacked.
It's an all-time story.
Oh my God. And this, like, the monster too, because you have to remember Daniel Bryan, when they showed him from like NXT, they actually showed him some indie days, NXT, this guy, like, shaved head, clean face, just a good quote unquote wrestler. Like, he looked like just a no man, like all the guys you saw at like the rec center when you go to those events that like you want to see the Hardys. Like, he just looked like nonchalant guy. And you watched his career, the development, the yes movement start, the nose, the cashing in, and then his change. And then he had the big beard, everything, and then turning to a monster. Like, he became this like signal of hope for wrestling fans. And it was just such, that thing still gets me, like, a little bit of chills. Like, all these packages have super awesome like moments to them. This one might give me the most actual chills, because it's just like, wow, just amazing storytelling.
I would agree.
That's 11 Mount Rushmores. We could have done 1,000. We could have done three. But we appreciate you guys. Let us know any of the you don't agree with. Been like, oh, you should have, you know, put this person on this or that person, or some of your favorites as well. We appreciate you guys. WrestleMania again this week, WrestleMania 38. You can check it out on the Peacock. I heard it's free. Basically, if you have cable, right? If you have cable, you have Peacock. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first year it's included or something like that.
One of those. So now they try to get you. Right. Oh yeah, I'll be out on my mind. We talked a ton, Bill, about the Will Smith, Chris Rock, I think, here. Either way, I just think it's just sad. I had a sad afterwards, because everyone's like having fun with it, and I am too. But it's really sad when you think about the reality. Like, that's sad.
No, that poor guy has been through it. And if it was real, you know, I think you can relate to that kind of guy. And he's just like, all right, I've reached the breaking point. And it was a weird breaking point anyways. But either way, if it is real, Lord help them. Like, that's
the saddest part to me is, it's like then he wins the award that he's been begging. You have to remember this, all the boycott from a few years ago. Everyone kind of remembers that. It's like, then he finally wins. He's up there talking like all about love and protection and all this stuff. It's like, bro, you just smack somebody. And you could say, oh, he was protecting. No, he wasn't protecting. It was just a stupid off-color joke. That it's just, I don't like, I feel bad for comedy. Because, you know, now this is like, it just opens a weird door. And it's Will Smith. This, like, we, you know, your guy, Kanye West, psychopath, crazy. I shouldn't say psycho. But like someone who clearly needs a lot of help, a lot of mental help. Will Smith has been, this guy is like funny, bubbly, love, like, oh my God, he's just one of like the coolest guys. And then this moment happened. And then 20 minutes later, he wins the Best Actor Award. It's like, God damn, Will. This is like a stain on your goddamn record now. And the only other thing I will say is that the only reason I can relate a little, never smack somebody. You've been in relationships, Bill. And you know, when there's tension between the two of you and something happens that somebody else does, because you can't do it. You can't get mad at your wife, significant other, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. So if somebody else says something, you're like, that's what happened. You know, those two hated each other throughout the day. Something,
I mean, Will Smith has been clowned on for 3 years now by Jada Pickens. So
yeah, like national television too. But like, you know, that in moment, forget about all that. Like, that kind of goes away, I think, a little. This is my belief, is that they had some tension earlier in the day. Didn't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to sit there. I don't want this. I don't want this. Just tension. And they're like sitting enough far away from each other, so they're not like holding hands. And then something like that happens. the moment he laughed and his wife gave him a look like, are you kidding me? I swear to God, I bet his brain exploded.
That's the other thing too, like where people are like, oh, he laughed at the joke. At those award shows, if you're a good celebrity, you don't ever be like, you try not to have like the mean face. You're just like, ah, ha, ha, you just kind of laugh it off. Yeah,
you're just,
and then when laughing. You see like your wife actually was pissed by it, you're like, oh, my bad.
And then it wasn't just like my bad. She looked at him like, you're a piece of garbage. And this whole alopecia, I get it. But I don't even think that still plays a huge role in this. I think there was so much tension between the two. She just gave him a look like when she didn't even crack a smile, because you've been there, Bill. We've all been there. And you've already been that person that if my wife, me and her were like grinding, I just want to, and then she doesn't laugh at something and I'm laughing, gives me that look, I might pick up a chair and just smash it on the floor. Like, he didn't know. I guarantee his brain exploded and he just walked up there not knowing what he was going to do. Probably started off kind of like a joke, and then he smacked him. And then when he was done smacking, he's probably like, what do I do? In rage. When you just start screaming like a lunatic that the whole room is silent, like, the man needed a million hugs right after. Like, just somebody go give
him. And I'll say real quickly, I do think there is still a little piece of me that wants to believe it was fake, because as a wrestling fan, Bischoff, you know, he's all over it being fake. Taz is all over it being fake. Taz. I'm not all over it because I understand why it would happen. But when people are like, and then he went back and then he screamed, and then the second scream was like crazy and bassy. Like, you can't fake that. I'm like, he's one of the best actors of our time.
He wins an award 10 minutes later for best actor. He can do it all.
Have you seen The Pursuit of Happiness? Have you seen Ali? Ooh. This guy is, he could do whatever he wanted. So people were like, you can't fake that kind of emotion. I was like, no, I've seen it. He's made me cry on a few occasions. So
absolutely.
That's it's possible. Thing, like people who are like, it's impossible for this to be staged.
No,
it's not.
Nothing is impossible, as Kevin Garnett once said. I still think this was also a big ploy to get the Oscars to not be just talked about. Encanto's We Don't Talk About Bruno, which is like the hit of the year. They freaking destroyed the song. They couldn't even hear anybody. Then Megan Thee Stallion comes on just rapping about God knows what. Embarrassing stuff. But then nobody's talking about that anymore. Mm-hmm. That was literally like my timeline. I went to the Celtics game. I'm coming home and everyone's like, they just killed Encanto. Can you believe they killed Encanto? I get home right before the Will Smith thing actually happened. So I saw that. No one's talking about Encanto anymore. No one's talking about it. And then the last thing for me, Bill, and we talked about earlier, Triple H's retirement, pacemaker in chest, him and Stephen A, sad stuff. Definitely, you know, we talked enough about some wrestling stuff here and like his impact with WrestleMania, but overall in the product, NXT throughout the greatest, maybe the most fun I've had as a wrestling fan for like a 5-year stretch, all credit to him. So, really sad, and hopefully he gets re-involved in something.
Yeah. I mean, once the business passes on to him fully, I think as like a creative,
maybe.
Who knows? But I will always do the Triple H spit with water. It's one of the greatest entrances of all time. And you know, some of the great moments in, like, he had one of the best returns, he had a couple good matches with The Undertaker. But overall, for me, when he announces retirement, I was just like, I'm announcing my retirement from the ring as well.
Yeah, you're a dick, Bill. You're a real dick. Guys freaking almost died. It wasn't like it wasn't like he was saying, no. He wasn't saying I retire. Stephen A asked him, what about your in-ring future? He's like, I can't get in the ring anymore.
Yeah. No. Which I think probably kind of all knew anyways.
No, but I didn't know that. I honestly, you want to know my crazy wrestling fan. I thought there's a part of this that could have been all being a part of it. Like, he probably was sick. Let's keep him off camera for a while. And then they were going to build a big story and have like one big final match. Unfortunately, not. It was him versus Randy Orton was his final match, which poetic.
Fitting. In the time, right?
Yeah. Anything else people should be listening, watching, or doing?
No, I'm rewatching Breaking Bad right now, and it's awesome.
Love that. I love there's a meme you probably saw it with the two brothers, the twins, that are about to kill. One of the greatest scenes when they're in the bedroom.
In the bedroom, yeah.
Walter's taking a shower. And I love the meme that shows them and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. It's like those two.
Really?
Yeah, you got to see it.
That's great.
Like, there's a great, you know, if you're a Boston sports fan, there's a great one. It's called like 617. It's like a podcast and stuff. But they have great, like, Celtics or sports content. Good stuff from them. All right, let's wrap up. Let's get the dork and let's get out of here. This week in
dork. Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so Dork is doing the top 10 Draculas. I really want to know if it's top 10 vampires or actual people who have played Dracula, so I'll be listening to that probably on my way into work. Magan Goo did the 1989 classic Aliens. CMC, MCU Rewatch, Black Panther, TLDR, Talked Books. I've heard it both ways. We'll be doing Bollywood Homicide, one of... of our favorite episodes, but we'll see.
It's the first time you said that. Usually you say it's one of the best episodes they've ever
seen. No, we're both like, nah, probably we've probably only seen it each like four or five times, but for us, it's not a lot. And then people be streaming, Shine Time be twitching along with Dr. Dro, Backcracker, and then Arvon D and Keith are exclusively on the YouTube.
YouTubes. All right, we will later this week. I'm going to do a little on the podcast feed. We'll get a preview of WrestleMania, maybe some Triple H stuff in there as well. We'll be back and better than ever with you guys next week. Appreciate you listening. Be well. Be kind to others. Don't smack anybody. And Bill, any final words for our fine folks?
Well, slap it on the biscuit if you have to.
Frank says hi.